If we will tonight, I would like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river of Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness that was about it as the color and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a cast foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. They four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their wings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went thither, was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and we'll just have a word of prayer. Father, as we pause in your presence, again, we just want to thank you for the Word of God and for what's written therein. We pray that each of us would come to know it in a fuller and a deeper way. We thank you for what you did for Ezekiel in this dark time of life. And again now, Lord, we just ask thy blessing upon us. And all that you're doing for us, we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When it comes to the book of Ezekiel, I can't profess to say I know a lot about the book, but I've enjoyed what I've been trying to study and meditate upon this portion of Scripture. Ezekiel, the name means God will strengthen, or strength of God, or strengthened by God. Yes, God will strengthen. I suppose most of you are aware of the fact that Ezekiel was a priest as well as a prophet. He was the son of Buzi, and he was taken captive by the Babylonian captivity. It's not definite as to exactly when he was taken into captivity, but most believe that he was probably taken in the first part. We do know that Ezekiel began his ministry, as we just read, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim during the captivity, of his captivity. So that's when he began. And Ezekiel, as well as Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we find that they give the plans and the purposes of God for Israel and for the world. So both of these books are that. Now, the place where this event of Ezekiel takes place, where he's prophesying, is in Tel Aviv among the captives by the river of Chiba in Babylon. Now, the purpose of it is to warn of the coming doom. That's the purpose of it. And also, the other purpose is for the promise of the coming deliverance. So in the end of the book, if we were to go there, you would find that even the millennium is brought forth and what's going to take place in the end. Well, we first of all see that in verse 1, that he saw visions of God. Now, it's very impossible to make a picture or a photo or an image of God and the person and the glory of God. That's an impossibility for us. And again, we know that we're not to be bowing down before images, But here we have brought before us the visions that he saw. And the first thing that we notice that as he describes the glory of God and of God, he describes him as a whirlwind. Notice it says in verse 4, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind." Now, when you think of the whirlwind, I don't know what you would think of, but what's one of the characters that comes to your mind when you think of a whirlwind? Pardon? No, the characters in the Bible. What kind? Pardon? Elijah, right. Okay, you think of Elijah, who was in the whirlwind, taken up into glory. And so as you stop to think about that, you think about the fact of the power of God. Now, that's very hard to depict in a picture or an image as you look at the power of God. And he is, as we know, all-powerful. But the next way that the Lord God is described is he says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind and a great cloud." Now, when you stop to think of God as the in an, a vision of a cloud, what would come to your mind? How that he used the cloud? The clouds are the dust of his feet, as we read in Nahum 1:7. And when you think of the clouds of the dust of your feet, of his feet, what always I'm thinking of is his nearness to us, because when you see the dust come up from clouds, it speaks of his nearness. But what other major event do we come with the cloud? Pardon? The ascension, that's good too. But even before the pardon? Yes, the children of Israel were led by a cloud. And that cloud is what led them, and he led the children of Israel, and that cloud came as a thick cloud. When we find that, first of all, when the law was given at Sinai. Now, let's just keep our finger here in Ezekiel, but I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. All the other thoughts were fine, but I want to think particularly of the cloud in this respect. Starting at verse 34. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." So another way to depict God was not only in the whirlwind, but in the cloud. Now, as we move along, and the cloud, of course, would speak of the presence of God, that God's presence was with them. When that cloud came, it would be, they could say, that the presence of the Lord was with them. And so we have the power of God, as we see in the whirlwind. We have the presence of God, as we see in the cloud. And then we find also, it says, "and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it." Now, the fire, when we stop to think of the fire, we can think of the fire But as God is described as a fire, is what kind of a fire? Consuming fire, right? As it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, our God is a consuming fire. So what it's speaking of to us, it speaks of the holiness of God. Because our God is a holy God. And he will consume that, yes, which is not for his honor and for his glory. So we see him in the likeness of a fire. But as we read this chapter, we also see that there's a likeness there for the four living creatures in Scripture that give us that often speak of us in the presence of God, where we have the four living creatures. And so we have that in verse 5. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had like the likeness of man. And then we find that they had the likeness not only of man, but we find also that they had the likeness of the ox, and the likeness of the lion, and also the likeness of the eagle. Now, when we stop to think of the creatures, these living creatures in Scripture, I thought of that their verse in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I want to just read from there, where it says, starting with verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." We know that man disobeyed and took of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And because he took that and sinned, God had to cast him out. Now, the reason that God cast him out for, because, my friends, if he took the tree of life, he would have lived forever in sin. Man would keep on living if he took the tree of life. But because God cast him out of the garden, yes, he couldn't take of the tree of life, and the cherubims were there to protect it so they didn't get it. And so these, again, are ministering to the holiness of God. But the day is going to come that we are going to eat of the tree of life. And that will come in the day when we're with him there in the glory, okay? So now we talk about the four faces that he saw, and the fourfold ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living creature, okay? But these are the creatures, these four, who depict him. Now when we look at the face of man, we're thinking of the humanity of the Lord. So when we think of the humanity of the Lord, and we're reading in the Gospels, where would we be reading? Luke, right. We would be reading in the Gospel of Luke. But now when it comes to the point when we talk about the face of the lion, which speaks of the royalty and speaks of the king, where would we be reading? Pardon? I can't hear you. Matthew, right. We would be reading in the book of Matthew that speaks of him as the king. Then we come to the ox, and of course the ox reminds us of that animal which is a servant, which serves, and we find that the servant of Jehovah, which is the Lord himself, would be in what gospel? Mark. Right, so we have the ox for the book of Mark, and then for the face of the eagle, we have the heavenlies. We're in the heavenly person or the deity, which would bring us to the gospel of John. So here we have these here acting in obedience to the will of God, to the living creature. Let's read that verse now in verse 20 of Acts chapter 1. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went thither. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So the very center of the wheels is none other depicted in a way of Christ also is depicted. There's a lot of symbolism here in this chapter, and we find him there again as the living creature. But we have these four creatures in this way who minister to his holiness and depict him in that way. Now another way that we have is the coals of fire, as we find in verse 13. Let me just read that again. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now, the coals of fires, if you think of that, what Bible character do you think about with a coal of fire? Isaiah, right. Because what did they do? They took that coal, the angel, took the coal of fire from off the altar. And in Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 6 and verse 6, he put that coal on his lips. Well, you know, a burning coal to go on the lips would burn the person, so he wouldn't be able to do anything in speaking. But you've got to remember that, first of all, as you read that chapter in Isaiah chapter 6, that the coal was first of all on the altar. It was removed, and therefore it gave him the ability to speak the message of the Lord. So in this case, the coals of the fire speaks of the cleansing power of God, the cleansing power of God that we have. Then we have the lamps that was also mentioned in that verse. And we have the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. What character are we talking about there connected with that? Pardon? Abraham, right, who had the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. We think of the fact that God is light. I think of that point as we look at that symbol there in the life of Abraham. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. We also read those words from 1 John chapter 1, where it says, verse 5, this then is the message which we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. So we see here the lamps in that verse as well. Now, verse 24. Notice here in verse 24, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. Now we have the noise here as of great waters. Now, when you think about that, you can go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And great waters, when we stop to think of it, the sound comes out as that great noise from the waters. There's clarity in what God is saying. And by his word, God speaks. And what happens? I think that when we think of Genesis chapter 1, the very first set of Ten Commandments is found in that chapter. That's the first set of Ten Commandments. Because 10 times over it says, God said. And whatever God said, it came to pass. There is not one of those first set of 10 commandments that has been broken. Each one of them are still being fulfilled today. When it comes to the second set of 10 commandments that God gave to Moses, we find that every one of those commandments has been broken. And the Word of God makes it very clear that whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend it or do one thing wrong, he is guilty of all. The second 10 commandments, every one of them has been broken. But the first 10 commandments, when God spoke, like with the noise of great waters, every one of them is still as they were. And then we have in verse 27, and I saw the color of amber as the appearance round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about him. And once again, we have the man that they're describing here as the appearance in verse 27. But I want to move along, and we got verse 28, and let's notice that one. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. What character are we thinking of in the Word of God? Noah, right, as the appearance of the bow. And when you see the bow, of course, the bow is always in a rainbow that we think about, how that God will not destroy the earth again with the waters of a flood. And although God has made that promise and the earth has not been destroyed like that again, it doesn't say that sections won't be destroyed, but the whole earth would never be destroyed again in that way. And so we find, though God says it will not be destroyed there with the waters of a flood, but it is going to be destroyed again with fire. Yes, this world will be destroyed with fire. Now let us just notice another verse over in Revelation in chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And I want to begin with verse 2. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And so we find once again, the bowl or the rainbow is even there around about the throne. And when we stop to think of that bowl as it describes him, we see the faithfulness of God, and we're reminded of how faithful God has been. So you see, the description that we have of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 1 is not something that we can make an image out of. We can't make an image out of it, but we accept that description, and we take it, and according to the Word of God, we go forth and give it out. Now I want to mention to you, going back to verse 3, that it says this, that the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Here in a dark, dreary time of life, there he was in loneliness as he was there in captivity. And we find that the hand of the Lord was there to strengthen him. Yes, the hand of the Lord, during this difficult time for him in a strange land, God did several things. First of all, we find that he opened up the heavens and gave him a vision and the revelation of his word and his will. In that hour of need, there was divine presence. Oh, how great to think of that. In his hour of need, when he would have been lonely, dreary, and it would be a difficult time, he felt divine presence and divine strength. Now, you know, the world has mocked. Oh, listen, when you stop to think of what the world has mocked in Scripture, we think of how they mocked Noah when he was building that ark. We think also of how they mocked Isaac as he would have given his life there on the altar. How they would have mocked the Hebrews who were in the fiery furnace. How the world would have mocked or laughed as they bound the prophets and the preachers. And when Ezekiel was taken into captivity along with the others, they would have laughed and mocked about that. But listen, they cannot bind the Word of God. Oh, they might do all kinds of things to the men of God or the women of God who are willing to live for them, but they cannot bind the Word of God. And so I think it's marvelous to read here that the Word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Yes, you think of the same thing where Paul was in prison. They put him in prison, but the word of the Lord came to Paul. When John was on that island of Patmos, and the word of the Lord came to him. It came expressly to him. They might put those men in prison or send them off to an island, but it's great to realize that the book of Revelation is known throughout the whole world. That which Paul was inspired to write is throughout the world. Yes? They cannot bind the Word of God. Now, as I said, that verse is very good. As you see it, it says that the Word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. And the end of the verse of verse 3 says, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now, the hand of the Lord was there upon him, and four things are clearly mentioned by Ezekiel, the author of this book. The first thing is that the heavens were open. We got that from verse 1. And verse 1 also, he saw the visions of God. And then the next two things that he had is the word of the Lord came upon him, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. Not only the word of the Lord, but the hand of the Lord was upon him. So he had an open heaven. He had a present God, a distinct revelation, and an ability to perform. What a great thing, because the hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, that's one of the key expressions in the book of Ezekiel. We don't have time, but that is found just 7 times in the book. The hand of the Lord came upon him. Now, the other expression that we have is the Word of God. So you got the Word of God to reveal and the hand of God to empower. Both of those things go together. The Word to tell us what to do and where to go, and the hand to enable us and to strengthen us so that we can do it. It's a great thing that we not only have the Word of God, but we have the hand of God. The Word of God, that speaks of the truth. The hand of God speaks of the power to move it. And the Word is for instruction, of course, and it gives us instruction, and the hand of God gives us the strength to carry out the instructions, for the Word of God is for wisdom and for understanding. And the hand of the Lord is for obedience in everyday life. Oh, that we might be obedient to take out the Word of God. Now, if you obey the Word, and you then automatically, you're going to feel the hand of God or the hand of the Lord working in your life. We need to obey the Word. Here we find there is the darkness and the loneliness. They're among unbelievers and strangers. There, despite the hopelessness and distress, they are passing through an endless tunnel, as it seems. The hand of God was there upon Ezekiel, and the same hand can be felt by us. No matter what comes to us in life, my friends, if we're trusting in the Lord, oh, what a great thing. If we will obey the Word of God, we will find that the hand of the Lord will be with us. We'll feel that He's guiding us and directing us through life. Okay, Jim, I'm going to just ask you to close in a word of prayer.